study, we're going to be in chapter 3 this morning, beginning in verse 5. You know, the study in Colossians has been so wonderful. You know, it's like, you know, we've learned all who we are, our position in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so thankful this morning that we know that we are completely forgiven. Amen? Not only are we completely forgiven, Lord God, listen, we are completely complete in Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, no more needs to be added. We've learned all those things. We know that we have not only divine favor, but we have complete acceptance before God the Father because we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But here's the deal. This morning, as we, the last few chapters, or the last two chapters, even into the last week, all of that has been our position in Christ Jesus. And so we've been in the heavenlies now for weeks and weeks and weeks, but today we have to come back to the planet, okay? We're going to come back to earth, and we're going to, since we know our position, now we have to translate that into our practice and walk worthy of our calling, amen? So this morning, we're going to put off and we're going to put on some things from the Word of God. I am so thankful that we know that we are born from above. Amen? Yes. Are you guys with me this morning? Yes. Don't make me favor the first service over you, okay? No, listen, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the certain, sure hope of glory. Amen? Oh, listen, that here we are, now we're going to learn and walk out our position, or rather practice the position that we have in Christ, and we want to put Jesus first in all that we do. Remember Colossians 1:18? That he might have preeminence in all things, and that means everything that's in our life. So this morning, in verse 5, we have some things that we have to kill, okay, that we have to put to death. And when we get to verse 8, we're going to find some things that we need to put off or put, you know, get rid of in our life. So with all that being said this morning, let's turn our position that we have in Christ into our practice, and let's begin in verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, what in the world does that mean, your members? It's talking about the physical members of the fallen nature of this old body which is not redeemed and doing things it shouldn't be doing. Does that make sense? So it says to kill them, man, put them to death, which are on earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, you see that big word at the beginning of verse 5. It says, therefore. Now, if we're going to understand therefore, we have to go back and see why it's therefore. Amen? So last Sunday, we covered some incredible facts. Divine truths. Boy, and we were still in the heavenlies, loved one. Listen, remember what we learned? Since you were raised with Christ, since your life is hidden with Christ in God, since you are now right this very moment, as far as God is concerned, your position, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now on that throne with our Lord. And since you died, it says now Christ is our life. Amen? Those are facts. Those are a divine truths. So when we look at that word therefore, it literally, we can say this, okay, it is time now to therefore become who we really are in Christ Jesus. Here is our position and here is our practice. Amen? Remember Ephesians 4:1, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling. Remember what the word worthy is a picture of what? Oh, you guys are such a well-taught church. You know, no, a set of scales, remember? And to balance things out, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. That's perfect. It's equal, okay? So equal in doctrine, equal in application. Now you're balanced. If you just know your position and you don't walk out your position, you're not balanced in your walk, amen? So this morning, we're going to put this position in practice. So here's the deal. How do we translate our position, these divine facts that we have learned, how do we translate them into everyday living? Well, the first word there is put to death, nekro, death. That is a command. That is something we are to do. God's commandments are always our enablements. Amen? So put to death means to deprive the strength of. It means to destroy and so forth. What? Everything that belongs to our old man, our earthly nature, everything that we were in Adam, we are now to treat those things as dead. They are lifeless. They're a corpse. Amen. But here's the problem: if we are to put to death certain things that we just read, that means they're still alive. Here, I'll ask this much: if we are to put things to death, that means they're still living. Amen. That's very important to know, because we're in a battle, loved one, and you know what? Our bodies, our spirit was redeemed when we're a new creation. His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God, that spirit of adoption. But loved one, our bodies are not redeemed. You and I, we are dragging around the old man. Amen? We're chained to it. Our bodies are not redeemed. And believe me, sin is still alive. So if we're going to put him to death, here's the deal. We have to believe the facts of the Bible. We have to believe God's truth. Let me give you a few scriptures. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, crucified with Christ. Actually, co-crucifixion. We were crucified together with our Lord. And here comes why. That the body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin, the command post, the old nature of what we were in Adam might be rendered inoperative. It's not annihilated, loved one. It is certainly still with us. And it says, be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now here's the deal. You know, we must believe the facts. If we don't believe the facts, loved one, we're going to get in trouble. God said that my old nature, your old nature, all that I used to be in my old life before we were born again, you were born again, God just said we were crucified. It's been severed, amen? Colossians 2:11 and following. Remember, divine surgery has happened by Jesus. He has severed that body of sin, that operating system, from our being, loved one, even though it is still active. Doesn't mean we have to sin, but it sure wants you to sin. Let's put it that way. So with all that being said, we have to believe that he's dead. He doesn't have any rights. He wants to have rights. Listen, my old man, let's just do it this way. Old Billy, okay? Listen, he still likes to have his way. Do you understand me? The old man in you that we're dragging around, he wants to have his way, amen? But the problem is what we need to do is put him to death. We deprive him of his rights. He doesn't have any right at all, so we don't give him any. Now, that's something that we appropriate by faith. We believe God's word. Our position, now we act upon that position. Another scripture, Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to believe that verse. And then by faith, we act upon that verse. It says literally, you are now dead. Dead. Amen? Okay, you don't make yourself dead. You see, that's something that's already happened. He made us alive who we were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Yeah, we're the new man. We're the new creation in Christ. He says here again, he says in the scripture I just read, you, right this minute, you are alive to God. You don't make yourself alive to God. That's already happened. So how do you put to death? You act upon that truth. I don't serve the law of sin. I don't serve the old Billy. I don't even like the old Billy. Do you understand? I don't even want to hang with the guy. No, listen. And the Bible tells us also in that verse that I just read, did it say that you feel dead to sin? No. You don't feel dead to sin. That's not what it said. Did it? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by the way we feel. And then how about this? Did it say that you reckon sin dead? No, sin's not dead. Man, sin is alive. Just look at the world that we live in. It's still present. And here's the deal. We're new creations in Christ, but are we totally free from the influence of sin? No. We're fighting the flesh. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting the world. Amen? We have to cast down these thoughts and imaginations and everything that exalts itself against, above the Word of God. Remember what Paul said in Romans 7:20. He says this. He says, you know what? It is no longer I who do it. The things that I want to do. He says, but I don't do it. But it's no longer I who does it. It's that sin that dwells in me. In other words, my old, dethroned, fallen nature, what I was in Adam, who wants to get back on the throne of my heart and rule. Thinking, now listen to me. Paul just said, the greatest apostle, next to Christ, the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth, in my opinion. Loved one, listen, he just said, sin that dwells in me. Here it comes again. Listen to this one. He says, then I find a law. He says that evil is present with me. Evil. Well, who is he talking about? Evil is present with you. Evil is present with me. You know who he is? He is the old man, the old nature. Again, our bodies have not been redeemed. Now, we're going to get a new body in the rapture or whenever we see the Lord. Amen? When we see him, the Bible says we will be or shall be like him. But right now, that's not the case. So Paul says, listen, man, sin is present with me. Evil is present with me. He goes on and he says in Romans 7:23, he says, but I see another law. He's not talking about the law of Moses, okay? I see another law, here it comes, in my members. Now, is that what we have to put to death? Isn't that what it said in verse 5? Okay. He says, I see this law and another law in my members. It's warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, not in my spirit. No, listen, man, we are his spirit, again, bore witness with our spirit, amen? Oh, listen, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Jesus paid them all. We've been justified by God, amen? But there's something going on with that old nature that we have reckoned dead, that Jesus has on the cross rendered inoperative. We were crucified with Christ. Now, it still tries to come alive. And boy, and I tell you what, you give him just a little bit and you'll see how quickly he resuscitates. Amen? It doesn't take much for the old man. So Paul says, man, there's a war going on. There's this battle going on, and it's in my flesh, it's in my mind, the things that are happening, and so forth. It's in the mind is telling me that I'm not going to make it, or I'm a sinner, that I'm failing, and all the rest of the things that it does. Listen, the old nature, I don't know if you've learned this or not, but it never rests. Have you noticed that? If you don't believe me, just drive 820, okay? You'll find out. Oh, no, in a heartbeat. I drove it yesterday. And you know, I have WAZ or Waze. I don't know which way you call it. It's W-A-Z-E, I think. When it tells you to do something, do it. But it told me, don't go 820. You know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit. No, you know, and man. And so what did I do? Instead of going I-30 to come here to the office, oh no, bad Billy, the old man. I don't need to listen to you. You're a machine or something, man. You're a digital person. You're not real. Took me nearly an hour just to get to the chapel here. Well, I'm going to listen to Waze the next time. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's a war going on. Now, here's the deal. If you call yourself a believer, and if there is not a struggle going on, then maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're not born again. Because I'm telling you, we are in a war, and we're in a war right now. Christians, they do struggle. In other words, I've got to fight this. Does that make sense? So we know now that we have a problem. And the problem is this, and I'll just use me as an example. Old Billy, my old nature, my old self, what I was before I was made alive in Christ Jesus, you know what? Here's the deal. He doesn't want to die. Matter of fact, he'd rather me die the new creation, and so forth. So to put to death, again, it means that the old Billy, the old nature, is not dead. To put to death means you better not consider your old nature dead or the members in your body dead. Amen? You're talking about your flesh, your body, not your spirit. Listen, because you know what? They're not dead. So how do I kill Bill? You follow me? How do I get rid of that guy? You know, there's only one way to put to death the old Billy, and that is to do it with what God or whom God has supplied. And that's the power another, the one who is working in us. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you the scripture. It says in Romans 8:13, it says, by the Spirit, by the power of another, the Spirit of truth, our divine helper. It says, by the Spirit, you, everyone say that word, you, that means you, loved one, present tense, you put to death the deeds of the body, meaning the evil deeds prompted by the members in our body, the old fallen nature, and you will live if you'll do that. So this is a fact, but you must act on the fact. It's your decision, because only the Holy Spirit can give you victory over sin. Does that make sense? The greatest lie that a Christian believes is that I can overcome sin. I can, with me, I can read a self-help book. I can go get counseling, all these kinds of things. And there's nothing wrong with counseling. And I guess maybe, I don't know about self-help books, but that's, I'm not talking about that. So the deal is this. I can't do it. I can't do it. I wish I could do it, but I tell you who can do it. He who is greater in me than he that's in the world. Amen? Because I have overcome the world because I'm in the one who's overcome the world. Amen? So what do? You just the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have to give the Holy Spirit his rightful place in your life. You know when you shouldn't look at that, see that, talk about that. Amen? Something happens, doesn't it? One person. Man, we're going to have an altar call. No, do you follow me? No, you know that that's wrong. But before you were saved, you said, okay, everybody does it. You know, it's okay. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I mean, who cares anyway? There wasn't a struggle. You were dead. Dead people don't struggle. But now there is a struggle. So what do we have to do? Again, we give this Holy Spirit his rightful place in our lives. Remember what Paul writes to the church at Galatia in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the cravings or the lust of the flesh. Amen? To walk means that's our lifestyle. We walk now in the Holy Spirit. That also suggests something else, that you have an ongoing relationship, intimacy, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. And you give him his rightful place. And he's taking you from glory to glory to glory. You've heard me say that a million times here. So the command, it tells us, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we obey the command, then we experience the promise, okay? Which is, again, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let me ask you a question. It means you're going to win. However, does it mean you're never going to be tempted again? No. Does it mean you've overcome it, nothing's going to happen again? Oh, take heed lest you fall, amen? Oh, you've got to be so careful, loved one. Listen, no. But experiencing the promise brings a great conflict. Let me give it to you. Verse 17 of Galatians 5. He says, for the flesh, remember the flesh, the body, the members, the old Billy, the old nature. For the flesh lusts against or wars against the spirit wars against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. Contrary one to another means there is an ongoing, continuous war between the old man and the new man, or the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah, listen, there's never going to be a truce. Do you know that? There's never going to be where peace between the two. There, it's enmity between one another. The old man, oh, how wicked that person is, loved one. It's never going to cease. You know, the thing about it is, old Billy doesn't like me. And he doesn't like the Holy Spirit. See, the old nature, did the old nature love to deny himself? Did the old nature say, well, I'm going to pick up the cross and follow Christ? No, the old nature says, I'm not denying myself. I love myself, man. And not only that, I don't need the cross. And I certainly don't need the one who died on it. That was the old man. Amen? But that's not who we are at all. See, the old man, the old Billy, the reason that he is so messed up is because the only thing he knows is slavery, a slave to death, a slave to sin, a slave to self. He doesn't understand because that's all he has ever known. So what are we to do? Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then he gives a list of sins, loved one. Think about those sins. Do you know that we carry those sins in the old man that we're dragging around? You know, I told the first service, I asked a guy the other day, one of our pastors, I said, do you know who Bela Lugosi is? And he goes, Bela La what? I said, Bela Lugosi, you know, Count Dracula, remember? Now, you people that are younger, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the 1933, remember? Yeah, 1933. See, five years ago, someone said. No, listen, here's the deal. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I watched those, not that I was born in 1933, but I watched those things. And see, Count Dracula, to me, he's like a picture of the old man, my old man. See, he's dead. He's in the grave. He sleeps in a coffin. Hello? Remember? He doesn't come out and during the day. He's afraid of the day. Or a mirror. Oh, you remember that? He only comes out in darkness. Right? And he comes out in darkness because he's like the old man. He wants to fulfill his appetites, his lust, and so forth. Remember those, have you ever seen one of those movies, you know, Dracula? Dr. Helmstein, remember that guy? Oh, that's a great, you got to watch it. You know, I mean, so Dr. Helmstein, he's there, he knows where Dracula sleeps now. Well, you know what that means, where he sleeps in the coffin during the day, which he's defenseless during the day. So Count Dracula is looking at Dr. Helmstein, and he gets that hand out. I love that scene. You know, and Dr. Helsing is starting to struggle. Remember, and he's walking toward Dracula because he wants to suck the blood out of his neck. So what does Dr. Helsing do? Dracula says, I see that you have great willpower. And Dr. Helsing reaches into his jacket, and Dracula says, oh, what is it, wolfbane? What does he pull out? The cross. Oh, yeah. Oh, and what does Dracula do? He turns into that little bat and flies away. Remember? And remember, it was on a string, the bat. Yeah, I got to drive a stake in the heart of the old man. And that's called the cross of Christ. Amen? And that's the only way to get rid of him. He is a blood sucker. He will suck the life out of you, loved one. The old man will lie to you. He is wicked. He's fallen. He's in Adam. Amen? Oh, listen, that's why it says here that we are to do something. You know, we have to remember that the fallen life, the old man, and the regenerate life, the new man, everything he does, the new man and the old man does, it's expressed through the body. Amen? The body is neutral. Whoever you feed the most is going to come alive. Does that make sense? You don't want to feed the old man. Don't feed him anything. Don't feed the eyes. Don't feed the mind. Don't do any of those things. The old man will cripple you. Oh, he'll stop you. No, you know what we have to do? What we've already learned, loved one, the body is neutral. That's why it tells us in Romans 12:1, it says, therefore present, I beseech you, therefore, present your bodies. Present them like a priest. Your bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. That's the only thing we can do. That's the only logical thing to do, loved one. And when you do that, you know what you can do through the power of another? You can put to death the first sin listed is fornication. Porneia, we get our word pornography from that word. That means any kind of sexual sin outside of marriage, any kind, bestiality, homosexuality, doesn't matter, all of it. Whatever is illicit sexual sin, we can call it porneia or fornication. Look at the next one. Uncleanness. Man, that's a filthy, impure, dirty, dirty thought life. Sexual thought life. Look at the next one. Passion. It's all talking about sensual things, sexual things. That passion that's unleashed. I want it. I got to have it, or whatever it might be. Evil desire. That's what's forbidden, and you see it, and you want it. And it says, then covetousness, which is idolatry. That covetousness is the motive behind all those sins that I just read to you. Covetousness. I want what doesn't belong to me. I want more of it. It's greed, okay? And so all those things, all these sins, are they considered the norm today? Isn't it amazing? It was written 2,000 years ago. But today, there's no moral restraints. None. Did you know that? I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Man, you look at all this here and I go, dear Lord, you know, all the things that we see today and hear today that is sin, it's an imitation of love. It's counterfeit love. It's not real love. Amen? No, not at all. Listen, I told the early service, on any given night or even day, it doesn't matter what time, any given day, you can watch TV for just 1 hour and you will witness all the sins I just mentioned plus a multitude of more sexual sins. Amen? I mean, every day. There's no way around it. Listen to me. I'll tell you something. In 1 hour, you have watched more sexual sin on TV. And maybe it's not, I'm not talking about pornography. You know what I mean. The alluding to the sins or whatever they're doing, living together, whatever it might be. You know that you in 1 hour have watched more sexual sin, filth, that my grandmother watched in her entire lifetime? In her entire lifetime. Well, Bill, your grandmother probably didn't have a TV. Yes, she did. You know, TV, in the 50s, okay? Yes, the early 50s. Very few homes even had TVs, but Grandma, I lived with her on the farm. She had that little round TV. And we would get there together, because TVs didn't come on during the day. Do y'all remember that? It's just there was like an Indian on there, and it was just a noise. Woo, remember? And then about, I don't know, 4 or 5, the news would come on or something. And then you would have movies like Grandma and I. Her favorite show was Wagon Train with Ward Bond. Remember that? So here we are. We had our little chairs up, and she loved Ward Bond because, see, my grandmother came from Tennessee in a covered wagon to Texas, okay? And as a farmer, she and her dad, whoever he was. So we would sit there, and this is, I never have forgotten this. It's never left me. So you know how Ward Bond, it's, you know, in the movie you're watching, it gets to be nighttime, and so they circle the wagon train around, and they build the campfire, and they're going to eat their and have their coffee. Well, so Grandma would sit there, and she would look at that. It's nighttime on TV. She'd get up and walk over to the screen door and look outside. She'd say, Billy, she said, I don't understand. It's still daytime. How can it be nighttime on TV? I never knew how to answer. I said, Grandma, that's not really real. That's a movie. There's something about TV, isn't it? It's the worst thing in our home, but it can be the best thing. You know, if we're going to kill things, we ought to kill that. Amen. The things that are on it. You know, listen, I grew up, you know, with things like Leave It to Beaver and, you know, the Ricky Nelson Show, Ozzie and Harriet and all those things. And, you know, we had great times around the TV. I remember when Color came out. You know what I'm saying? And John, you know, my sister raised me, and John, her husband, when we got that Color TV, because we were going to watch the Rose Bowl. You follow me? We'd never seen it in color. We're from Keller. That's a long time ago, okay? So John, he would work hours because you had to adjust your own color. It just didn't happen. You know what I mean? And man, when John finished that, he turned around and looked at me. You ever touched that TV? You did. I never touched that TV. But you know what my sister did? Those were good days. Watching TV, watching good things. You know, every time, you know, Presley, you've heard of him, haven't you? Elvis? You know, whenever Elvis was on TV, man, we would all get into the living room and turn it on, you know, and my sister would make 2 chocolate pies every time Elvis was on. Yeah, I'd go in the bathroom and comb my hair. You know what I mean? No, never mind. Thank you. Thank you very much. There's a lot of things that if we're going to put to death, we should put to death in our homes. Or make sure. You can't even open up an app on the phone sometimes without going, my gosh, why are they showing that? Does that make sense? You know, Richard Baxter, the great Puritan, said this. He says, use sin as it will use you. Spare it not, for it will not spare you. It is a murderer, and the murderer of the world. Use it, therefore, as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you. What a good word, Richard. Listen, Colossians 3:6. Because of these things, what things? The sins that were listed that we just read in verse 5. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now listen, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a universal law. It can never be broken. You sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. Amen? So in those sins that he just mentioned, it says there, look at it. It says, the wrath, because of these sins, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. What is he saying here? He's saying that those that are lost or whoever that practice an ongoing, never-ending, habitual lifestyle of these sins will never, ever inherit the kingdom of God because they are sons of disobedience. But we're not sons of disobedience. Amen? No, not at all. Listen, Adam's sin, the old nature that we had to finally severed from us, Adam's sin was deliberate disobedience. He deliberately disobeyed the Lord. Listen, and the wrath of God comes upon the children of the sons of disobedience. Adam's, listen, we all were an Adam. Amen? Okay, and when we were born in Adam. In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. When we were born fallen. Amen? 5 of you. No, we were born fallen. Come on, guys. I mean, did anybody hear that when you were growing, your parents had to teach you how to lie? Huh? No. They had to teach you not to lie. Why? You're an Adam. Do you understand? Deliberately disobeying. It's already there. It's in that body, the members of our old man, loved one. So listen, no, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience because we know who works in them. Ephesians 2:2 says, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, that's the wicked one, loved one. That is the devil, the prince of disobedience, always gives energy to the sons of disobedience, but we're not. We have the Prince of Peace living in our heart, not that other one. Amen? We're born from above, man, and I thank God for that. We're the new man in Christ, and we put on Christ. But listen about the wrath of God. Let me give you a few scriptures. It says in John 3:36, he who believes, Jesus said, in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God. A lot of people believe that in the church that, well, the wrath of God is something that happened in the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, like Sodom and Gomorrah or Noah and the Ark and when you destroy the world. Okay, well, that's right. That is true. Or the wrath of God is something that is future, like the Great Tribulation period, when God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this Christ-rejecting planet. That's true as well. But Romans 1:18 teaches that the wrath of God is present tense. It is abiding right this moment, and it abides upon those who are living or who are apart from Christ because they're dead. Does that make sense? They're not alive. God hates sin. So what happens to us, the believer? Let me give you the scripture. In Romans 5:9, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Jesus our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we are waiting for Jesus from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, who delivers us from, from is ek in the Greek, from the wrath to come. In other words, not we're going to go through the wrath. Ek means completely delivered out of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to salvation through our Lord Christ Jesus. But look at the next verse, verse 7. It says, in which, Paul says, I'm talking about the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. In other words, but not anymore, because we're new creations. He says, so, but now you yourselves, meaning everybody, all believers, but now are to put off all these. And look at the first one that we're to put off, anger. Well, that's that deep, smoldering, abiding, resistant resentment that just keeps building and building. And look at the next one. What is it? Wrath. That's that explosive, sudden outburst of violent anger. And then malice. That's one of the worst sins. Malice is a desire to injure the other party, no matter what it costs. You just want to, man, you want to harm them. And then blasphemy. Blasphemy is speech that comes out of your mouth that harms other people's reputations. You slander, you lie against them. And look at the next one. Ooh, filthy language out of what? Out of your mouth. Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 12:34? He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are we to do? It says we are to put off, or we are to rid ourselves, man, of these things, the sins of speech, the things that come out of our mouth. Now listen, if we are to put them off or rid ourselves of them, that means they're here with us. Amen? Yes. Just listen, like I always say, just get on 820. You'll see what anger is. Yeah, loved one, no, listen. Man, the believer's speech, we have now a new language. We have a new dialect, okay, if you will, because we're born from above. We don't want junk coming out of our mouth. We want to fill our heart with good things. So I want you to just look at, there in Colossians, go over to chapter 4 and verse 6 and look at the dialect that we are supposed to have. It says this. It says, let your speech, your everyday conversation, okay, whatever comes out of your mouth, let your speech always, always, a very important word, be with grace. In other words, just like the unmerited favor of God. Listen, our speech should never tear people down. Our speech should always build people up. Amen? Yes. He says, oh, let it be seasoned, or always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Now that, in other words, the things that come out of your mouth should have at least a decent flavor to them. Amen? Put a little seasoning there, you know? He says, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's a very important word. Listen to me. Words matter. Words matter. Our words can build people up. Our words can tear people down. Our words can scar our children. Amen? Words are powerful. They're powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:11 that the mouth of the righteous should be a well of life, a well of life, just spewing out good things, the word of God. Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel, the 12th chapter, the 36th verse, he said, but I say unto you, every idle word that man speaks, he will give an account of on the day of judgment. That's a scary word. What is an idle word? Every, did you catch that? Every idle word that comes out of a person's mouth, You're going to give an account of. An idle word is a word that doesn't profit the individual, that doesn't bring life to that individual. It's an inoperative word. It's just trash. It doesn't do anything. Maybe it harms the other person. Jesus said, by your words you are condemned, and by your words you are justified. Man, listen, best thing to do with our words is let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. Amen? Whatever more Jesus said comes to that is evil. So the power of speech, man, Proverbs, what is it, 18:21, life and death is in the power of the tongue, in the power of the tongue. We don't want salt water and fresh water coming out of our mouth. Amen? We only want fresh water coming out, loved one. No, and look at the next one, verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Yes, that when we lie, that you take on the characteristics of the wicked one. He's the father of all lies. Amen? So don't lie to one another. And here, look at the reason. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, all those ungodly habits. It's like you've taken off the old rags of your clothing and you put on a brand new suit, if you will. It's a terrible thing to believe a lie and consider it to be the truth. Amen? Man, what deception. You know, you've heard me say many times about lying and so forth. You know, the first sin of man was literally, in a sense, lying. First sin of the devil. What did he do? He told Eve. He says, Eve, has God indeed said, you eat of this fruit, you're not going to die. Don't worry about it. If you eat it, you're going to be just like God. Now, listen, the first person to ever believe a lie, or the first person to ever be deceived, was a woman. Now, I'm not being critical about women. It's the Bible. The first person to ever be lied to was a woman. And the first person that ever believed a lie was a woman. And she went to her husband called Adam. And what did she do? She gave Adam the fruit. He did eat thereof. And both their eyes were open, but their eyes were not open the way they wanted to. And they were naked. Amen? Listen, lies are so dangerous. So dangerous. You see, the result of the fall in the garden, Adam and Eve, you know what it resulted in? All men are liars. Every person that has ever been born that's in Adam, there is not one person that has ever lived that has not told a lie. I'll even take it a little deeper. There is not one place that humans have been on this planet that a lie was not told. You know, I'm sure they're probably telling some lies right now in the White House. You know? No, I don't mean that critically. I mean, I'm sure they're very truth tellers, aren't they? You know, and there's some people right here in the pulpit in some churches, and you know what? They're not teaching the truth. They're teaching lies. Are you listening? Oh, listen. No, we don't want to lie. We have to fact check everything that's told to us. Man, the first sin judged in the early church, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Spirit of God. They lied, and they died. Something would happen if that happened here. Do not lie one to another. You've put off the old man, his deeds. And look at verse 10. And you have done something. You've put on the new man. When did that happen? The moment that you were born from above, you became a brand new creation, the new man. And look at it now. This new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Listen, we're no longer in Adam. God no longer sees us in Adam. God sees us in Christ. Amen? Man, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, says, I have been crucified with. It's no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Christ. Amen? The life that I now live, it's not my life anymore. Paul the Apostle, Philippians 1:21, for me to live in all that I do, 24/7, is Christ, and to die is gain. Listen, we look at this and I say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful that we're all new creations and that our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that means forever and ever and ever. So we have to put off the old man, those old rags, and we have to put on a brand new suit. Man, we have to clothe ourselves with Christ. We put on the new man, and look at it again, who is renewed, the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Now listen carefully. The word renewed there literally could be translated becoming renewed, or actually it's an ongoing, continuous renewal of the knowledge of God that you put into you. Amen? Ephesians 4:23 says, "And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Did you catch that? Not your mind, but the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? It means that everything that we lost at the fall, we need to renew our mind, the parts, whatever it is, that spiritual area that governs and controls the believer. Does that make sense? We have to renew our minds to that. Now, listen, when we think about that, what we lost at the fall, if we're going to put on the new man, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have to have the right kind of thinking. Remember Philippians 2:5, the command, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're to act like one man, react like one man, to think like one man, to love like one man, to forgive. Are you with me? Yes, and not only that, what does it say in chapter 3 of Colossians? Look back up, what is it, verse 2? It says, "Set your mind on things above, not things below." Things above, where Christ is right now, where he is sitting at the right hand of God, loved one. The Bible tells us this word renew, which is only used actually one other place in the Bible, and that's 2 Corinthians 4:16, where Paul says, "Our outer man is perishing, but our inner man is being renewed day by day." And there's only one way we can get our minds, the spirit of our minds, right, and that's Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't think like the world. The world is messed up, guys. Amen? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? There you go. You've got to do what this says. You got to know the Word of God. You have to get into the Word of God. Why? Because it says that our new man, there in the Scripture, was created according to the image of God. Remember Genesis 1:26 and 27? God said, "Let us make man in our image." And here's what happened at the fall. Adam and Eve, they were, in a sense, defaced. Does that make sense? In other words, they died, but they didn't die physically. Later on, yes, they died spiritually. Their eyes were opened. And listen, what a terrible thing to be, your eyes open to good and evil. Amen? Just good is great, but evil, I don't want any of it. Loved one, listen to me now. They were defaced, if you will. Now, what does the Bible say about us, the new man, the new creation? It says in Romans 8:29 that we now, right now, right this very minute, we are predestined. Predestined is a beautiful word, predestined by God to be conformed into the image of his Son. That's Christ's likeness. Oh, listen, that's what's going on in our lives right this very minute. But I want you to look at verse 11, because I know it's getting close to time to go home, and I don't want you to start, you know, getting mad at me and sinning, okay? Little humor. Verse 11. We could spend 2 hours on verse 11. It is so powerful. Look what it says. Where there is, say that with me, where there is neither Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Look at those three incredible words. Where there is. This is what this means. Where there can never be. Where there cannot be what? Well, there can't be any Greeks. Well, wait a minute. There can't be any Jews. There can't be any barbarians, Scythians, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. What is that scripture? What is it teaching us? It means this. Those that are in Christ Jesus our Lord, they form a brand new, that has never existed before, a new humanity, one new man called the body of Christ. Amen? Oh, listen, that's so important. Ephesians 2:15, that God created in himself one, not two, one new man from the two, meaning the Jew and the Gentile, meaning it never existed before. Now, what does all that mean? Listen, here's what it means. It means no matter who you are you if you're a believer, if you are a Christian, all believers are created absolutely equal. Doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter any of those things. Listen, God created us all equal because we're created into the new man, amen? And not only that, God has no favorites, none. We're all God's favorites because we're in Christ Jesus, amen? So what is that verse, what is it telling us? It's telling us this, that identity does not come from ethnicity, status, heritage, color, race. It comes only, our identity comes only from Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, he says in Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God, daughters of God. It says, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized, that's not water baptism, that's the new birth, as many were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there's neither Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Listen, that doesn't matter. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you are pink, black, brown. Listen, you're my brother and you are my sister. Amen. It doesn't matter if you can speak great English or you can't speak good English. If you chew Red Man tobacco, well, we got a problem. But listen to me. I've said it before, and I don't want to be mean when I say this, and I'm never mean. I love you. I love people. But, you know, the church has got to get it right, man. We've got to get it right. You know it. I know. There's no such thing as Jewish Christianity. Amen. Come on. There's no Gentile Christianity. There's no such thing as white Christianity. There's no such thing as black Christianity. There's no such thing as Mexican or Spanish Christianity. Everybody mad at me yet? No, we are all equal in Christ. Amen. Do you understand? I mean, we are a melting pot. Look at us. We are one new humanity. And we are a small colony of heaven because we're citizens in heaven here upon this lousy planet that's going to perish. Amen. Oh, but he who doeth the will of God, he abideth forever and ever and ever. Come on. First church, second church, this church, that church, cowboy church, cowgirl church, sissy church, motorcycle church. Come on. No, man. If you're in Christ, you're my brother, you are my sister. Listen, there's only Christianity. There's nothing else. Nothing. There's only one Lord. There's only one church. There's only one new man. There's only one faith. There's only one Savior. And I say, oh, here we are. I love it because, see, every color, every nationality comes to this church. Isn't that wonderful to know? I love that. I love that so much because that's a true church, loved one. Listen, in Christ Jesus, all barriers, each and every one of them, they're destroyed in Jesus. Did you catch that word, barbarian? You know, the Greeks barbarian, it was because of the way they talked. They would go, bar, 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 you know? I don't know what that, I don't know, it's what, bar, bar, bar. No, barbarians. You've heard, you're a barbarian, you know? No, listen, it says barbarians. You know, if we want to bring that up to date, you know how we would say it today? Hillbilly. You're just a hillbilly. In other words, hillbillies are people like that live in Keller. You know what I'm saying? something like that. Oh, look at this one. Scythians. What's a Scythian? That sounds like a mixed drink or something. Hey, get me a Scythian, you know? I mean, a Scythian. Well, a Scythian was worse than a barbarian. Really, they were the lowest of the low. They were even called wild beast. In other words, if we wanted to bring it up to today's language, we'd call them swamp people. You understand? Like swamp people. You know, like people that live in Argyle or maybe Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Those kind of people, not here. Oh, no, But here's the deal. Now, listen to me. All distinctions are gone. Why? Because Christ is all that matters. Why? Because Christ lives in them all. Christ lives in us. Christ is absolutely everything. Therefore, in all things, he should have and always have, and he has it right now, the preeminence. Jesus needs to be first place in all that we do. Calvary Chapel, We're in rebuild. And you know what we're doing and what we have done and what we're going to continue to do? We are His servants and we are living sacrifices, and this place is the altar of God, and we're going to serve Him and put our lives and our body, say, Lord, here we are. And you know what? Maybe you're here, you don't know Christ. Maybe you're listening live or you're on the radio. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Now listen to me. You can only be in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Amen? Now listen to me. Before I became a Christian, I couldn't help it that I was born in Adam, that I was in Adam. And if you are not saved, you can't help it that you are in Adam. You're just in Adam. That's the way it is. You're fallen. But it's your fault if you stay in Adam. It's your fault. You deny Him, He'll deny you. But you ask Him to save you, man, He'll confess your name before the Father in heaven. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, listen, if you're playing church, if you're not really walking with God, if you're not born from above, if Jesus is not your Lord, this may be your last opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior. Right now, you can do so. If you're not saved, oh, come, please, lift your hand. Don't come to the altar. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Quickly, if that's you, lift your hand, put it right back down, and we will pray right now. Anyone at all? Well, Father, I see no hands, but I don't know, maybe online, listening live right now, there are. Then ask Christ to come into your heart. Ask Christ to save you right now, and I promise you, He will save you. Oh, listen, we're thankful, so thankful, Lord God, for all that You're doing at this place called Calvary Chapel. So we love You, we give You praise in the greatest name in the universe, in the name of Jesus. We pray, and we all say, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? We're going to close with a song, and if you're visiting with us for the very first time, I'd love to